Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
All righty, welcome back in. Zach Gelb here with you on The Fan. Let's talk some Giants and Jets right now with Pat Leonard. Does a great job covering the Giants for the New York Daily News. And make sure you check out his podcast on YouTube, Talking Ball with Pat Leonard. Pat, happy holiday season. Merry Christmas. Appreciate the time. How are you?
Zach, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thanks for having me on. You're the best. Love talking sports with you. Look forward to running into you on Super Bowl Radio Row, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So I know that we're on to Tank Bowl with the Giants, but I got to start you off with last week. What the heck was the approach with Jackson Dart with how long it took them to have him throw the football and then for him to only attempt 13 passes in an NFL game? I thought it was back to like my high school days where they would just tell us to run and have the quarterback barely throw the ball.
Yeah. Well, so I understand the Giants' intentions behind trying to develop Jackson Dart more as a pocket player and passer, because initially you look at it and you say, we love your mobility, but we want you to be a passer who runs, not a runner who throws. So you understand the thought process going into it. But then after that, you watch how this is playing out on the field. Jackson Dart looks uncomfortable. And what makes him a first round talent that the Giants traded up and got Zach was a guy who can extend plays, make plays with his legs, also is very good at throwing after he uses his legs to exit the pocket. And so when you see a game plan like Mike Kafka and Shea Tierney, the quarterback coach, throw him into it, when you see a game plan like that against Brian Flores where you're barely letting him throw the ball, and when you do, and this is something that's kind of in the weeds, but Zach, they weren't protecting him properly when they threw the ball. Brian Flores is not an easy defensive coordinator to plan for, but whether he's dropping the safeties or bringing a linebacker off the edge, you need to have answers for your quarterback, especially a young quarterback. And so I think it's pretty discouraging that right now down the stretch, if anything else, Zach, what you wanted, win or loss, you just wanted to see the arrow continue to point up on Jackson Dart. But right now you're not able to see really any type of evaluation of him, because they're not putting him in the best position to succeed. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve some blame for some of what happened in this game. Like that play to Wandale Robinson on zero coverage, he lofted that ball too high in the air. It hung, and that's why it was incomplete. That's why Isaiah Rodgers got back to get it. But, I mean, you saw what I saw, which was a shockingly bad offensive performance. And the kind of performance, Zach, that even if Jackson Dart gets out of it and resumes his trajectory as the franchise guy, it's the kind of performance that's just going to stick in the back of people's minds for a long while here, because that was a full NFL game. Like, you send somebody his stats from that game, 7-13, 33, whatever it was, his quarterback rating was in the 20s. They'd say, oh, looks like a pretty tough first drive with Jackson with that interception. Like, no, that's his game stats against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I know that this is second guessing it, and Brian Daboll clearly deserved to get fired. But if the Giants could do it over for the development of Jackson Dart, would it have been better to just keep Brian Daboll and bite the bullet knowing that he was going to get fired at the end of the year instead of trotting out Mike Kafka?
Maybe from the standpoint of his production, what his stats would look like, though. Then again, Dable's usage of him is what resulted in him being concussed, being out for two games. You know, one thing about Dable is with all the quarterbacks he's had, you've seen flashes of production. But what's the common thread with Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, Tyrod Taylor, Tommy DeVito, now Jackson Dart? They all end up getting hurt. You know, they all end up having the weight of the world on their shoulders running Dable's offense. And so it isn't sustainable, even if you see a flash in the pan or some fireworks in the sky for a week or two. I don't agree with the idea like, hey, this is proof that you shouldn't have fired Dable when you did. But I definitely think it's valid for you to point out that since that firing, Mike Kafka, during his frankly warranted, you know, head coaching interview here, his extended head coaching interview, has just proven himself not capable of doing the job is more my evaluation of it.
Are you surprised by that? Because really the last 2 years, whenever there would be job openings, people would say, you know, maybe Mike Kafka could be a candidate, or he's a coach that is up and coming and he could be a future head coach. I know that the Giants don't have a great team. I know the Giants have been one of the more dysfunctional teams in the league, but are you surprised how bad it's looked under Kafka?
A little bit. I would say I do think eventually he could be a head coach. I am surprised by the bottom falling out a little bit like it did against the Vikings. But I think, Zach, you know, you go back to the first years of this regime, and this again is evidence of why Dable deserved to be fired. Like, Kafka has been put in a position to fail by inheriting a culture that was already soured. Like, he comes in, and then he and Joe Shane and people who are left have to start benching guys like Abdul Carter for breaking rules and showing up to meetings late because Brian Dable wasn't doing it. And so Kafka's a little bit doing his own thing, a little bit trying to clean up what Dable left. And, you know, midstream, you can't change the way that a team is swimming for the most part. I mean, it happens every now and then. Like, Rich Bisaccia caught lightning in a bottle a few years ago with the Raiders at the end of a season. But by and large, it's very difficult for this to happen. I think what Kafka needs to do, Zach, is like, he has to be more natural to himself. This is what I see with a lot of coaches who fail, is it's like they're trying to do the job the way they read it in a book rather than just be who you are in the role, if that makes sense. So, yes, you learn from Andy Reid. Yes, you played in the NFL as a quarterback, but be yourself. Be Mike Kafka and be natural and genuine. And if you're that way, you'll get more of a response than I think playing head coach, if that makes sense.
Talking to Pat Leonard, make sure you check out his podcast on YouTube, Talking Ball with Pat Leonard. Zach Gelb here with you on The Fan. With 2 weeks left in the season, I know it's kind of probably reevaluate this at the end of the year, but what are you hearing when it comes to the job status of Joe Shane moving forward?
My belief is, I would call this informed speculation, my belief is that he will be fired. My understanding is ownership, like Joe Shane said during his bi-week press conference, that they were going to get to the end of the year, and then he, just like everyone else in the team, is going to be evaluated by ownership. That tracked with what I understood and had heard at that moment as well, is that they're going to get to the end of the season as bad as it gets, and ownership is going to collectively decide on his fate as well as the fate of the entire franchise, the coaching search, and everything heading into 2026. I don't think you have any legs to stand on remaining with this general manager, given how pitiful it's gotten. But obviously, with a high draft pick, and if there are enough people high up in the organization that buy the look at the pieces that we have as a foundation here, it could always work out for Joe Shane. There's that sliver of a possibility. You know, Ryan Poles in Chicago, there were so many reasons. Now, granted, it was 2 years earlier than the juncture Joe Shane is at right now, so it's not exactly comparable, but he saved his job by trading out of a number one spot and getting a huge blockbuster haul in return and turning it into at least three key contributors in Caleb Williams, Darnell Wright, and Luther Burden, four if you count DJ Moore, who they got in that trade. And so if the Giants hold the number one pick, can Joe Shane convince ownership, if I stay in this role and we get this haul, I can resolve the corner, tackle, linebacker, receiver, tight end, all these holes on the roster? I think if the Giants are evaluating it honestly, when you note that there's that many holes on the roster, that speaks for itself on what your GM has done for 4 years. but he does have some strong ties at that level of the organization as well. But yes, my short answer would be I do think they move on from him.
Could you see potentially, and I know we got to see what the draft order looks like, but let's just say the Giants have the first pick and the Jets are 3 or 4. Could you see a Jet-Giant trade with the Jets having so much draft capital where the Jets could move up, get their quarterback, whether it's Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore, whoever it may be, and the Giants actually do business with the Jets and fall back and get a haul in return?
For sure, because the Jets fit the profile of the team that makes that trade, which is desperate for a quarterback, the most important player and position in the sport. And so it's one thing to have attractive QBs on the board. It's another thing then you need to find the trade partner who is so desperate for that position and player, even though they believe in some of the other talents that they're watching coming out of college and that they're evaluating and meeting with, they know they have to go get that player. And so, yes, I do think we could see that happening. I think it's a very, very strong possibility that that could be the trade if the Giants are holding the number one pick. And that'll provide some fascinating fodder. I'll promise you this, Zach, the offseason of the Giants and the Jets coming up here starting in January is going to be much more interesting than the season we have been watching on the field.
It feel like it's been that way for the last half decade. When it comes to Aaron Glenn, I feel as if every 3 weeks it's, all right, he'll be back, and then one and done. As we sit here with 2 weeks left in the season, I don't think the guy is a good coach. His defense hasn't looked good. But I don't think he's going to get fired. Do you agree?
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Agree with that assessment.
Yeah, I agree. They're not going to fire him. I think it's to connect it to the quarterback need. First of all, they signed him and paid him a lot of money and locked him in for a long term. He's a Bill Parcells guy. And, you know, from the Jets standpoint, nothing you've done over many years, right, has worked. So from their vantage point, they tore down the roster midseason or the defense with Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams. That told me when they did that Glenn was, you know, definitely back, because you're not taking those players away and then blaming him for losing more when they're not in the building. That kind of move is a move of, all right, let's press the reset. Let's get our own players in. Whether or not that's the right move, we'll see. But yeah, I think he's safe and he stays. But certainly, Zach, I think the Jets would be unwise while making that decision to ignore the arbitrary game management decisions he has made and just the reality that, you know, listen, you and I watch the NFL right now. The parity is as great as it's ever been with, it feels like any team can win or lose any game every week, right? Even the good teams can lose any given week. The Giants and the Jets, though, are exceptions. They always lose. And so in a league where it's literally set up for anybody to have a chance every week and all you do is lose, your job has to be called onto the carpet and questioned whether or not you're going to return.
And also, we've seen new coaches come in and immediately have success. You look at Vrabel this year, Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen. I know Dan Quinn, right, had a job before, but last year had the Commanders in an NFC Championship game, the Texans with DeMeco Ryan. So it is possible to go to the outhouse to the penthouse real quickly. I guess that's not the case in New York for whatever it may be. Pat Leonard here with us for a few more moments. Make sure you check out his podcast on YouTube, Talking Ball with Pat Leonard. Get him back to the Giants. I saw Mike Garofalo came out over the weekend and said, hey, the Giants' top candidate is Marcus Freeman. As someone that covers a lot of college football, I say, sure, the Giants should want a guy that's a leader of men and a character guy like a Marcus Freeman. But with that being said, Marcus Freeman, why would he want to leave Notre Dame now for the New York Giants is where I wrap my head around that, and I struggle doing so.
Yeah, they are interested. He, I believe, is entertaining the idea, but my guess is that he stays at Notre Dame. An interview could happen with the Giants. There's no reason not to, if you're Marcus Freeman's agent, if you're him himself, to kind of let this interest grow, not just with the Giants, but with the NFL as a whole, because if he continues to have the success that he's been having at Notre Dame, he's going
to pick whatever job he wants. Yeah.
No doubt. He's going to end up in the league anyway. But also, Zach, to your point, if you're Marcus Freeman, if you get an interview with the Giants and a few other organizations, you don't just take any job if you have the leverage to decide which job you want, right? Because there are not every job in the NFL is equal. Some of the guys who went from the outhouse to the penthouse that you described picked jobs where they evaluated based on the roster and the infrastructure they could do that, right? And so is the Giants job attractive enough for Marcus Freeman to leave a Notre Dame program that is expected to compete for a national championship again next season? And also, this would be an unusual juncture for Freeman to leave given what Notre Dame just went through as a team, right? What he is, a program builder, a leader, somebody who the players respect, who he can relate to them. Right now is a moment where that Notre Dame program needs to rally around each other and around him, and he needs to take them through not getting into this playoff, declining the bowl game and all of that. I feel like knowing him and knowing how he conducts himself, he's going to bring Notre Dame through this and out of this. And then once he looks up after whatever they achieve, you know, down the road, whether it's next year or the year after that, will end up being the guy.
If you had to take two guesses right now, and I know it's tough because we don't even know who the GM's going to be, but if you had to take two guesses on who's going to be the next Giants head coach right now, Pat Leonard, who would they be?
Clint Kubiak's a guy that I think people should start paying more attention to, the Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator. I'm not sitting here saying he's going to get the job, but everyone I ask about him says that would be a good hire. It's like literally the same sentence that comes out of everybody's mouth. You know, the son of a Super Bowl winning head coach, Gary Kubiak, obviously has done great work with Sam Darnold as well as other stops along the way. Prior to that, you get an offensive mind, you get a guy who's pretty steady, who's working on a team that manages the ends of halves and games well, which is something that the Giants don't know how to do. So that's one I think is interesting. But also, as you noted, even though Freeman's a college coach, you need somebody also who you're confident is a program builder. So the McCarthys, the Grudens, I think are guys that need to be fully vetted, interviewed, and considered and are still on the board. Anarumo just coming off a tough game against the Niners. But Lou Anarumo is a guy who would create structure, Staten Island guy, good friends with Joe Shane, definitely a candidate one way or another, has strong ties inside the building. And Jeff Hafley with the Packers, the defensive coordinator there. I'm a little bit more skeptical of that candidacy, given that, you know, head coach at BC, defensive coordinator with the Packers, people rave about him as a leader of men, as a person, and as a coach. But that would be an interesting kind of off the board. Let's go back 6 months from here, a little bit of an off the board hire, but certainly another local guy and somebody who, like, if you feel like he would get your young players who don't follow the rules in order, and you feel like he would be able to turn the worst defense in football into something that was a little bit middle of the road right away, maybe that creates the support structure and the foundation that you need. So those are the names I would throw up there here and now, along with Freeman, obviously.
You can check out his coverage in the Daily News. Also check out his podcast, Talking Ball with Pat Leonard on YouTube. He is Pat Leonard. Pat, always great to have you on. Appreciate it.
You got it, Zach.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.